Hello, I'm Chris, and welcome to Foundations in Social Innovation 2022. This is the podcast that's going to follow along your Foundation in Social Innovation journey. We've got an episode for each of the 18 modules, and it's where you can get to know some of the key thinkers, the key ideas, and the key references and case studies and examples that will inform every module. Finzi was developed and is being recorded now on Kaurna land, and I'd like to pay my respects to Kaurna elders past, present, and emerging. And I'd also really like to acknowledge the Indigenous thinkers and writers and innovators that have contributed to Foundations in Social Innovation. Social innovation is a field that is in some ways in the relatively early stages of development. It does give a name to something that people have been doing for a long time, but as a unified body of knowledge, it's quite immature, and it's evolving, and it's highly eclectic. That is, it draws on and remixes and recombines a diverse range of disciplines. And all those things in combination can make social innovation quite bewildering. It can be quite hard to get your head around. So, in developing this course, I wanted to make something that would make social innovation more accessible without shying away from its breadth and its complexity. I wanted to create something that would enable people to be stronger general practitioners of social innovation, to be able to diagnose situations and opportunities, to be able to prescribe the best course of action, and to know when there are more questions to be asked and specialists to be sought out. I also wanted to create something that would be an ongoing reference point, a Swiss Army knife of a resource that you could keep in your back pocket and pull out to refer to when you needed it. This focus on the big picture and the big ideas means that this course is not a lot of things. For example, we won't delve deep into the practice of designing services or leading systems change work or co-design for that matter. We'll touch on them all, but as specialisms within social innovation, each is easily deserving of its own course. In this course, we'll focus on the underlying ideas that I think are relevant to just about every single social innovation endeavour. I hope this course will help you think about if you're doing the right work, if you're drawing on the best expertise, and if you have in place the best principles for what you're trying to achieve. Ultimately, my intention is to help you improve the impact of your work on communities, on the systems that you work in, and on yourself. So let me tell you about the topics we're going to be exploring together over the 18 modules that make up Finzi 21.
So TACSI is an acronym for the Australian Centre for Social Innovation. But what does that social innovation bit actually mean?
The content of this course is informed by TACSI's practical work and TACSI's particular take on social innovation. That good social innovation is social in ends and means, and that it's human, systemic, and experimental. And that's where we'll start, with an exploration of what is social innovation, what is its relevance today, and how the definition of social innovation may need to change for different contexts and different cohorts.
Some very violent males, some perpetrators of pretty serious abuse, a lot of ex-offenders, and people with significant mental health. First, it was a bit of a rocky road for me because, you know, it's really difficult hearing people's pain. So I think what I did when I first started is I would share their pain, and I would put myself right in there.
So you will have heard this probably 100 times because I say it over and over again, but you can't give what you don't have.
We'll look at you as a social innovation practitioner.
That means
we'll explore what it means to be a social innovator and how to cope with some of the inevitable tensions, stresses, and strains of the job. how to get through those big conversations, how to deal with events that may be triggering for you, and how to deal with working in intractable systems on intractable problems where change is slow. And also, how to deal with the professional challenge that is working in a field that blends lots of disciplines and is continually evolving.
Development economists or policy advisors often find themselves in the position of having to address, what really is a good outcome anyway? The typical standard of economics is to identify a good outcome with greater wealth or higher GDP. But Sen made the point that a country can be wealthy, but perhaps not everyone in that country is very happy, or maybe people don't live very long, or maybe they have lives which are by some standard impoverished or lacking. So Sen has been a consistent critic of using wealth or GDP as a metric for a good outcome.
So the best way for you guys to wrap your heads around this thing is to think of it like a wheel, laid out exactly like the wheel on your car. So at the center there, you've got your hub or your nuts that hold everything stable. Everything's held together by that there. So you can put whatever your word you want in there. We've put holistic social emotional well-being just to...
But not everybody can be or wants to be a ranger or an artist. And many Aboriginal people have been separated from their lands and language. So the point is this. Education and work that enables you to operate from the safety and strength of your own culture enables you to be true to who you are, which appears to be a key element of well-being. By valuing what's most important to people in a language that governments understand, being numbers, enables governments to work out where they can best invest to create change. This means that governments can achieve their goals by empowering Aboriginal people to build from their own cultural strengths.
A second common standard is to ask, how happy are the people in a given country or region? But Sen makes the point that happiness is an extremely subjective thing to judge. It's very hard to say who is happy and who is not.
And I was really struck once I drew in this picture to realize that the symbol of well-being in many ancient cultures reflects this very same sense of dynamic balance. From the Maori Takarangi to the Taoist yin-yang, the Buddhist endless knot, the Celtic double spiral. So can we find this dynamic balance in the 21st century?
The goal of social innovation is better outcomes for people, and we'll explore how to think about well-being and what's a good outcome, including how to resolve outcomes for people with outcomes for the planet. We'll hear from Indigenous leaders, economists, philosophers, and evaluators who've been grappling with these elusive concepts for decades.
Well, the term systems thinking is really a mixed bag, and I use it very, very cautiously. First, both words are problematic, but the word system is the most problematic, because if you say the word system, the picture or image that pops up into most people's head is computer system. Like, we need a systems expert here because our system's not working.
And I colored the three most important parts of this definition. The elements are the things, the people, the factories, the physical stuff that you can count and measure and see. The interrelationships are critical. They are what we call the structure of the system. They're what hold us together. They're the rules of the game. They are the rewards and punishments, the prices, the information signals, all the things that hold the systems together. The function or goal is sometimes not at all what the system or people in it would say it is doing, but it is the result that is clearly being produced every time you see that system.
Our cultures are adaptive in this way. They always have been. But what is the nature of that adaptivity? Because it's something we're going to need coming into this Anthropocene. We need, and people are calling for, a new way of being, as if this is something that we can design and that will emerge, and that we can then freeze that system in place again and try and keep as much as of much of this as possible. But what we're really looking at is having to develop, to co-evolve cultures of transition during a period of transition that is going to last for quite a while, centuries. The emerging cultures for a few centuries are going to have to be cultures of transition that are transitioning us from one era to the next, because the world that's coming out of this Anthropocene is not going to look very much like the world that went in. That doesn't mean it's not going to be amazing and lovely, by the way. I'm sure we'll get it to that point.
A major theme in this course is systems. we'll explore what it means to see and think in systems, how social systems behave, and how they change over time. We'll look at the many, many options for taking action in systems and how approaches need to change to account for the power that you have or don't have in a given situation. And throughout this exploration, we'll be drawing on examples from Taxi Zone work, leading Indigenous innovation in Australia, and the practitioners who have perhaps done the most to rekindle systems thinking in Western thought. Having found their way through the low fog of the valley and the craggy foothills, the climbers reached their base camp. When they woke in the morning, they could see the summit striking against the blue sky. This is what they'd always dreamed of reaching, something no one had ever done before.
We've been trying to answer who is this for? Who are the right families? What are the right cohort of families? We've been trying to understand what are the right activities that happen in a connection to actually see change occur. We've asked so many questions, sorry. It's 12 weeks of questions.
Well, how would you explain what a prototype is to someone?
I would probably explain like the first version of something that you think might not work, but it could work.
It has challenged me personally and professionally in every way a person could be challenged. It's right from the start, I'm assessment versus ethnography and writing a policy versus co-design and prototyping versus piloting, throwing things out as quickly as you make them. It's just really starting from the bottom up, and I really...
We'll travel the complete innovation journey from setting intent to implementation via discovery and invention. We'll explore the importance of rigour in the use of evidence, rigour in learning, and rigour in creativity. We'll hear stories from the front line of innovation, including our own work at Taxi and work from overseas, and we'll hear from comedians and scientists on the importance of guessing and imagination.
Because to sum up something I sometimes take 3 hours to say, all creativity comes from the unconscious. If creativity came from logic and intelligence, then all the logical, intelligent people could do it. But they can't.
Now I'm going to discuss how we would look for a new law. In general, we look for a new law by the following process. First, we guess it. Then we compute the consequences of the guess to see what, if this is right, if this law that we guessed is right, we see what it would imply. And then we compare those computation results to nature, or we say compare to experiment or experience. Compare it directly with observation to see if it works.
This is very much the beginning of the co-design movement, because they then looked into how could one develop a strategy where people locally did build up knowledge and based on that knowledge be able to negotiate with management on changes.
Before we ran the dialogues, we held 3 meetings across the country to seek the approval of kind of key stakeholder groups. So we had a meeting with traditional owners in Broome to run the process by them, the structure of the dialogue and the reforms that were going out. Then we had a meeting on Thursday Island with peak bodies, our national Indigenous peak bodies. We did the same. And then the third meeting was with significant Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders, including people who had long been in the struggle.
Now, and the first citizens' jury into the nuclear fuel cycle took the first steps today that may lead to the storing of high-level nuclear waste in South Australia. Our reporter Simon Royal joins us now live from the Samri building on North Terrace. Simon, the jury wrapped up proceedings a few hours ago and...
Justice LaFoy, thank you for the invitation to attend here this afternoon. I am pleased to speak at the inaugural meeting of the Citizens' Assembly. That I speak on behalf of the government and the houses of the Oireachtas signifies to you and to the people of Ireland that the issues that you will discuss over the coming months are beyond party politics. In fact, they are so clearly beyond party politics, the Oireachtas has voted to give you this mandate. So your report...
One of the tenets of social innovation is that people are involved in developing solutions. And so we'll spend some time unpacking participation, looking at the different options for participation along the innovation journey. We'll be paying particular attention to considerations for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander groups and other groups that are commonly marginalised from mainstream decision-making. We'll ask ourselves the question, when should processes be participatory? But also, when should they not involve community members at all, and when should they be self-determined?
I spoke to my mum last night. She's in Wales, old South Wales, and she was on her way to get her COVID injection, first dose. And Jeff talked about that amazing world scientific system that has been put into action around developing these vaccines in ultra-fast time. And that's because there are systems in place to discover new knowledge, to share new knowledge, for scientists to collaborate in different ways, approval processes for drugs to get approval for human usage, delivery, etc., etc.
Having explored systems, innovation, and participation, we'll zoom out to explore what it takes to systematize this kind of social innovation at a team level, at an organizational level, and at an ecosystem level. What do ecosystems for social innovation look like? We'll explore the roles for evaluation in social innovation and how to contribute to the social innovation knowledge base. And at the end of the course, we'll try to weave together everything we've learned by exploring the best fit social innovation approach for given situations, and by reflecting on what we've got out of the course and what that means for the future of our own learning and FinZ 22. This course was first run in 2020. To provide taxi practitioners with a grounding in social innovation. And in that first cohort, we developed a set of guiding principles to shape the learning experience. And we're still following them today, with a few tweaks. Throughout the course, we're going to do our best to use plain language to ensure that the content is relevant to nearly every social innovation project, to build on the best available knowledge, yet to be highly selective with the recommended resources and starting points. We're all busy, we're all working, and so this is a course that aims to fit in and around work and indeed complement it. We're going to draw on examples from practice primarily and provide some tools to inform practice. We wanted to create materials that are open and reusable. That's why everything in FinZ is written down. And we also wanted to draw on case studies, thinkers, and knowledge systems that are representative of the true diversity of Australian society. In FinZ in 2020, well, we were only really just getting to grips with what this course could and should be. In 2021, we put a lot more focus on the audio and the podcasts as pre-listening, pulling together some great thinkers and theory and case studies. And we expanded from just 9 modules up to the 18 modules we've got now. Another major focus in 2021 was diversifying the voices and perspectives represented in FinZ. And in particular, we put a focus on including more Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander innovators and examples. And now that Indigenous perspective is woven through nearly every module in FinZ. So in 2022, the little challenge we've set ourselves is to finally get the visuals and the visual resources that accompany Finzi working well. So hopefully you'll see that happening as you travel the journey with me. So why should you do this course? Well, in the evaluation of the last Finzi, there were four things that participants said they got from taking part. The course helped them onboard into Taxi by helping learners connect their previous professional practice to Taxi's work. The course helped learners widen their sense of what social innovation could and should involve. The course directly supported learners in their live projects and in their initiatives, the things that they were working on right there and then. And the course helped learners connect with the practice and expertise of their Taxi colleagues.